Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to this special edition of Such Good Shoot, the podcast. Today, about breaking news in the wrestling industry. Up above me, we have Isaac.
Hello, everybody.
Over there, in the 2 o'clock position, we have Shane.
Hello.
Down at 4 o'clock, we have the incomparable DDJ.
What up, everybody?
And I might be your host, Dozer. So join us, won't you?
Well, that was an introduction, man, of introductions. It's good to have you guys back together again. I feel like we just did this the other day, which was fun. We got to interview the Godfather, and DDJ got to join. And
I got to have him go off on me.
You went toe-to-toe. You went toe-to-toe. Speaking of which, I just want to take one moment out of this before we start diving into what we were doing and do this.
A speed question.
I did. Fuck, man. Yeah.
All right, smart ass. How many hoes did I have with me? How many hoes did I have with me that night?
Was it three?
Four. What color outfit was I wearing that night? And what color hat and fur coat did I have on that night? Had a blue, a red outfit, white fur coat, and a white hat and red shoes.
Damn, dude. All right. That is pimping. Red shoes, man. Red shoes.
And they came, dude, there's a cool story behind. I know we're running out of time, but
and I just wanna point out that you did tap out.
Oh, good time, man. That was a blast.
Yeah, he got a little frustrated. It looked like how many hoes did I have with me? I lost it, man. That was fun. But yeah, go check that one out. Especially if you want to catch DDJ's big announcements. Suchgoodshoot.com. You can find all our shit on there. And then you can also go to wrestlingwithjohnners.com and find all the great content that all of our podcast brethren and sistren deliver.
Hey, and while we're at it, let's give a big shout out to John. He was a busy man this past weekend at the debut show for Wrestle Carnival, man, doing some backstage interviews and stuff. So shout out to that, because he was quite the busy man.
It looked fun, man. What a great time, dude.
Right, yep.
It looked super interesting.
He's got a 200th show coming up here in the next couple weeks.
200th episode, man. Fuck yeah, dude. That's awesome. We got to be coming up on, what, like 65 or some 60-something at this point.
We're so counting?
We stopped counting
earlier today.
I stopped counting when I ran out of fingers.
I stopped counting after the Human Torch.
That was episode one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. The fucking pilot. The pilot with the black square in the bottom. That was a good time. The pilot episode. Always fun.
Oh boy.
Shane hates you?
No. Nah.
Brody. Shane hates everybody. It's not personal.
He's an equal opportunity hater.
So, yes. So I'm going to throw out a number here, and I think we all know what this number is. It is 42, the number 42. That is the number of releases.
No. That's the answer to the question.
Yes. How many roads has the man walked down?
The ultimate question. It's the answer to the ultimate question. Yeah, so, hey, I'll take
the question of life, the universe, and everything, man. But yeah. No, it's the number of releases, talent releases in 2021, which is a fucking big number, even by their standards, and especially considering the names that are on that list. And I don't know if you've got some of those written down. I do. Dozer, do you have any written down? Yeah, why don't you? You don't. Okay, well, I'll read off a couple of names. Some as recent as, I guess, today with Ric Flair.
Does he really count as a release?
I mean, I think anytime you're dealing with the GOAT, I think you talk about it. I mean, it's Ric Flair. And I think the fact that he asked for his release because of his disappointment in booking, apparently, with some shit is, I think, significant. But then you have Bray Wyatt, Braun Strowman, Bo Dallas, Mojo Rawley, Ruby Riott, Fandango, Lana, Tyler Breeze, Aleister Black, Big Show, Mark Henry, Daniel Bryan, Samoa Joe, JoJo. Although Samoa Joe did go back because Triple H.
Daniel Bryan's contract ran out. We can't hold that on WWE.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't put it on WWE for Ric Flair.
I'm just saying that those are both big names for them to lose. And, you know, like we're not just talking about the releases. We're talking about the landscape of wrestling now after 2021 and 2021. And geez, like, there's been a lot happening the last couple days.
It's nuts.
It's insane. I mean, in the membrane.
So do we want to start and talk a little bit about, we want to talk about Bray and Bray Wyatt and that release? I mean, that seems like as good a place to start as any, right?
Yeah.
Totally caught me off guard. I didn't expect Bray to be released, but then again, it's not like they were doing anything with him. And anytime he'd start to get momentum, any momentum at all, they just kill it, despite having some of the best characters in the last 10 years of WWE.
Yeah, creatively. And
honestly, the only thought that came to my mind when I read Bray Wyatt released was, well, shit. When's Randall Keith getting released? Because apparently they're just releasing everybody.
I mean, yeah, Shane, what were your first thoughts when you saw this?
I mean, obviously I was shocked, but I think I kind of went through the same mental gymnastics as Dozer did, which is like they weren't using him. I'm sure that they were paying him a decent sum of money. You know what I mean? I'm sure that they were paying him, you know, almost championship money. And if they don't have any sustained clue what to do with this guy, why wouldn't you release him? Through WWE's eyes, obviously.
Yeah.
You talk about the money he was probably making. Let's not forget, he was also like one of their top sellers of merchandise as well, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he was selling a lot of merch. It looks like he was making about $1 million a year with merchandise and everything included. I think his contract was worth somewhere around $850,000.
That's a good change.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're making another $250,000 on merchandise royalties, then you're making that company money. So it is a weird thing to blame on budget cuts, because that was like that's apparently what they told him.
Yeah, is it ever really fully budget cuts? No. I mean, I'm sure, I'm 100% sure that he was probably a pain in the ass for a lot of management to deal with, because I'm sure that he was very, very, very hard-nosed about this character that he had created. And I'm sure that he was very particular about what happened. And I'm sure that when something happened that he wasn't fully into, I'm sure that he probably raised some shit about it and had every right to. But the thing is
what I heard is that he was basically like a model employee. Like he never, you know, really made us think they never really had any major issues with him. Is it like he was basically what you would probably call a company guy, you know?
Well, he did have some issues. I remember because he knocked up JoJo while he was still married, and that caused some trouble. I remember that caused a lot of trouble backstage for him, I think. But that was early on. And I do think that like when it comes down to like doing the job and doing what he's supposed to, yeah, he always seemed to be like, I mean, yeah. Jesus Christ, they made him do it enough.
Yeah, like, I don't think he ever said no, you know what I mean? But I'm sure that he wasn't happy about it.
No, of course not. He shouldn't have. Yeah. It was all bullshit. No. They fucked him time and time again. They fucked him with the Wyatt family. They fucked him with the Fiend. I mean,
all roads lead to getting your house burned down by Randall Keith, dude. It'll never end.
And even with fucking, oh God, what was his name? Husky Harris?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Husky fucking Harris?
Well, he was a fat guy, and Vince just thinks fat guys are funny.
And I mean, God, fucking to his credit, creating that Wyatt character, and when he first came out, he came out to Husky Harris chants.
Yeah.
And he got through that shit and fucking got over, which is incredible. And yeah, and that one, Dennis, what were your initial thoughts when you heard?
Pretty much like, you know, what you guys said, and that was just the whole, you know, caught off guard, because I'd also seen online that he was like, I want to say like 2, maybe 3 weeks away from returning. Like, I think like he was supposed to be involved at SummerSlam, you know, and I'm just thinking this guy is truly a talent unlike any other that company has ever had, because the stuff he was doing with, you know, the whole Wyatt family thing, you know, the Firefly Funhouse, the Fiend and everything. I mean, not many people, if there's really anybody else, could have pulled off what he did. I mean, and it's just, it's a shame. It's tragic, you know, and it's, yeah, it's just, it blew me away. Like, I almost thought, is this like a joke or like a, you know, an April Fool's or like an August Fool's, whatever you want to call it. Basically, like someone just like, you know, just like trying to get them, you know, put something out there just to get their name out there.
Yeah, is this kayfabe news or what?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and it's just, I don't know, because it's just, this guy was, like you said, he was making money with merch. People loved him. You know, he's like one of these guys that the people would, you know, spend their money to see. And it's just like all these guys, and it's just, like you mentioned before, what did you say that number was this year in terms of release?
42.
It's just most number there, that's like
that's a roster.
That's a roster for like an independent promotion, or you know, like, you know, or something like a lesser known, you know, or like a, you know, like me close to Ring of Honor. I'm sure, yeah, they got more. Yeah, that's a roster
for a large independent promotion,
right? Yeah,
and a good one too. Yeah. There's a lot of talent on there.
And this whole thing with budget cuts, they just signed a deal earlier this year with NBC to sell all their network content to that Peacock for $1 billion over 5 years. And you mean to tell me that they had to cut Bray Wyatt out? They had to cut his budget out because they wanted to make their bottom line look good, you know? And it's, I mean, I'm sure when their next, whatever, you know, how much money they made and stuff,
shareholders,
I'm sure it's gonna be in the hundreds of millions.
Well, I mean, yeah, always is. And that's the thing with a company of their size. And you know, it really comes down to, you know, and this is, I think, one of the things Shane and I were discussing before we hopped on air was, do we think there's going to be a sale or not? And do we think that that's what this is building to? And I guess that's the next logical question, right? Is like, mm-hmm. what is this about budget cuts, or is it something about, you know, something bigger than this? You know, is it just Vince saying, and you know, what is it? What con is it?
Nick
Khan, you know, is it just
Khan?
Him going, yeah, is it just him slashing budgets to, like, you know, like be like, this is the money I saved you, Vince? Or is this something else? You know, I don't have the answer, but I'm curious as to what your guys' take is on that.
There's got to be disconnect somewhere. I can hear myself.
Yeah, no, we hear you. I think Dozer's camera's just off.
But yeah, I think there's some amount of disconnect somewhere, because DDJ just said with Bray, there's you know, he's supposed to come back in like August or whatever. You saw with Tommy End earlier this year, where they had been like running like new vignettes for him and like actively pumping him up, and then he just got cut. And that one there,
you mentioned Tommy End. That was after he actually showed up on SmackDown to start something with Big E. It wasn't like, you know, he had been brought back to TV and Angle ready to go and everything.
And not only that, but they dropped the ball. Like, there was a definite miscommunication because they fucked up his contract and let him go after 30 days and got to show up as a fucking huge surprise on AEW.
Yeah. That and also, too, he showed up at PWG last night.
And wow. So did fucking Super Dragon.
Super Dragon!
Dude, I swear Isaac, to God, have you ever...
He's more famous for fucking Botchamania than he is for his career.
Oh no, he is not. Have you ever seen any videos of him like shooting on people in crowds, dude?
Yeah, no. Oh, it's great, dude. He's a legend, dude. He really is.
Super Dragon is very scary. Anyways,
yeah, we're talking the sales and also just like the financial picture.
As for this whole thing with the sale, you know, if this company is indeed going up for sale, maybe it might be the best thing for this company, because as long as Vince McMahon, and I think it was Mike Bennett earlier today, gone on record and basically saying, like, Vince, I don't remember, and I'm going to probably misquote this, but he said something along the lines as Vince McMahon is bad for the WWE, which he is. He's lost it. I mean, everything that he did great in the 80s and 90s, it's done a complete 180. And it's just, I think the further away this company gets from his control, I think the better off its talent is going to be.
Well, I'm going to,
that's clear though,
but I'm going to go out on a limb here and say something. And I'm starting to really wonder if going back and watching like the heyday, like doing the comparisons, and I don't know how much it's going to change. I'm sure it'll start to change, but I'm wondering if Vince ever was that good at this, or if he just was in the right spot at the right time and was fucking ruthless enough to take out all the competition when no one else would. And I'm starting to think that that's more of that than it is like any sort of fucking good ability to be a wrestling promoter, because when it comes down to it, we've seen people who are better at it than him and better at it than WWE, and he just throws fucking gobs of money at the situation. And
so
I don't know, I'm just throwing that out there.
He was the right mix of people. He was a above average wrestling promoter and a good businessman. I know you listen to Cornette. You listen to most of these wrestling promoters. A lot of them were shitty, shitty businessmen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They couldn't figure shit out. So
yeah, exactly.
The fact of just being a good businessman, that worked. Bischoff, good businessman, shitty, shitty wrestling promoter at the end of the day. And kind of shitty businessman. He wrote those stupid contracts. So Vince had the right mix. The problem is you're now looking at a geriatric old man.
Yeah, I mean,
you can't have a geriatric old man trying to say what 30-somethings want to watch. They don't have a clue.
No. One of the things that's out there, and I don't know if you guys listen to Busted Open on SiriusXM, but I usually listen to it every morning and stuff. And one of the things that they used to say is that these writers that are writing these shows, they're not writing for, like, you know, the people that are in the crowds or the people that are watching this on TV. They're writing these shows for an audience of one, and that one is Vince McMahon, and that is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the thing is with Vince is, even back, think about like Attitude Era, he was late to that party anyways. You know what I mean? When WCW had already kind of like transitioned into being, you know, a more adult oriented program after ECW did it, Vince was like 2 years late to the party. Yeah. He was still trying to put over, you know, fucking Duke the Dumpster Droz. And, you know, nothing wrong with Duke, but you know, WCW was promoting guys like Chris Benoit and, you know, Dean Malenko and Rey Mysterio. And
yeah, it was incredible what they were doing.
And you had guys like the Sandman and Raven.
And here's my thing is I'm wondering as we sit here and talk about the idea of selling and Vince McMahon being bad for wrestling and being bad for WWE. Is this a situation that if they do sell to NBC or whoever, is this a thing for out of the frying pan into the fire, as they say, where now instead of having the one unified person who, crazy as he is, had sort of a control over this. And now you're literally in the hands of fucking a boardroom at NBC, and you know, you're just another, you're just another column on their spreadsheets with them trying to compete with Disney.
Before we even get to that, the first question, and I don't honestly know the answer, is can they sell? You can only sell what you own. Vince owns 38% of WWE. But he owns 81% of the voting stock.
Oh, so okay.
He has more or less all the say, but he doesn't own a controlling interest. So it's a very weird.
That's a weird thing where, from a shareholder's perspective.
And there's a thing called minority shareholder rights where, say that other 20% of whoever holds the other voting interest, they can overrule him because he has so much power.
Yeah.
There are just rules about that. I don't remember them exactly off
but
the
in,
top
in
of my
the
head.
Long run, if the shareholders, the majority of the shareholders want to sell, they can make that happen.
They absolutely can make that happen. But you know, it's not going to be as clean as everybody thinks it is.
No,
it's not just a simple sale.
But it is a lot simpler if it's something that Vince wants to do.
Yes.
But there's no fucking way Vince wants to sell, man.
Oh, there goes Dozer again. Yeah,
I'm
no.
Here. It's just a shitty camera.
No, I agree that I don't, but I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to tell. I mean, even his last appearance, which was a great moment, was, I don't know, he just came out, he said his thing, and he walked away. He didn't even look like Vince, could barely do the strut. I don't know, he might just be tired. It's hard to, I mean, I can't say. I'm 36, I'm fucking tired.
I'm 41, and I spent most of my afternoon walking around a zoo with my wife and my kid. I'm exhausted.
Well, we also have to remember, Vince doesn't sleep.
No, he doesn't. Yeah. That dude is always working.
This man sleeps like 3 hours a night.
Yeah.
Just insane.
Yeah. It's a lot of testosterone and fucking HGH and cocaine that man did. Wow, looks like we got Robert back down here, which is awesome. Throwback to old school SGS.
And real quick, happy birthday, Robert.
Happy birthday, Robert. Holy shit.
Hello,
that's right.
Hello. Happy
today.
Birthday.
Happy birthday from all of us to you. Happy, happy birthday. We hope you hate the song too.
Oh, I was going to say happy birthday Jew.
Is this such a good shooter, or is this like TGI Fridays?
Dude, we're TGI.
I wish it was TGI Fridays, dude.
We're Applebee's.
Dude, I could use endless apps right now.
Oh my God, that is the best.
Yo, potato skins. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Hot
sticks, wings.
Yeah, I could fuck up some chicken wings right now. Man, yes, we're all of a sudden now we're a food lifestyle podcast.
Such food shoot.
Such food. Yeah, I've had it auto-corrected to that so many times, I swear to God. Oh, shit, dude. That's fucking funny.
So here's where I'm going to go.
Yes, just please. Get us back on board.
We're going back to the releases. Mm-hmm. Where does Bray go? Because so many people are putting him in AEW, and I don't see that as the answer.
You know, I'm
it's an easy answer.
Okay, what's your answer?
No, I'm saying that's an easy answer.
That is
the AEW one.
Yeah, okay. But see,
I don't know
the thing is which Bray Wyatt are we talking about? If we're talking about the Fiend, I don't think that character can work outside the WWE. If it goes back to what he was doing before, like when he was in NXT and when he debuted on the main roster, that could work. And I think that's what he needs to do. I honestly, But see, the thing is, I just don't know if there's a place out there for this character.
But they don't have, he doesn't have rights to those characters.
He, but you he could make a cult leader.
But no, yeah. You could. But here's the thing is, I definitely don't, I mean, I see AEW as an option, especially if it's something like Dark Order or whatever. Like, yeah.
No.
That could work. But I don't see that as the answer. What I see is I think he would make a huge impact at Ring of Honor.
You had the right word, wrong promotion.
You really think Impact?
Impact. So picture this. You have him debut in Impact. You throw Eric Redbeard with him again. Maybe you throw Braun, but I don't think Impact can afford Braun because he thinks he's all high and mighty, especially if they just paid Bray. But you throw him on Impact. You have him be the cult leader. And, you know, Impact kind of sort of has a feud going on with AEW and Crossover. So you could eventually get him as the rival to the Dark Order once they finish up with the Hangman Page stuff.
Okay. You know who I think would be a great group to maybe put Wyatt with? Why not put him with Violent by Design?
I don't know Impact. It's
Eric Young's group. It's him, Joe Doring, Cody Deaner and Rhino. They're actually not bad. And I mean, I think the way Eric Young is kind of like the Bray Wyatt of Impact right now. And I mean, who better? I mean, that I'd never even actually had given that any thought, you know, and that I could see that. I actually think Impact makes more sense, at least right now, than AEW.
Especially since for the most part, Tony seems to be keeping things mostly realistic. Minus the Matt Hardy stuff that happened last year.
Rey Mysterio losing an eye. Can throw a fucking building.
Impact is still doing crazy bullshit. So I think he could work there.
I want to hear what Shane says here.
I think that there are two places that Bray ends up. Either one. And I legitimately think that this is the option that will happen, which is I think AEW picks him up and makes him the leader of the Dark Order. I'll tell you why. I feel like he can stay off television for a little bit longer. They can finish up with their Hangman Page stuff. Then Bray can swoop in and finish doing what Brody started. I mean, I feel like that's a very easy, way to kind of...
It is very... Easy. I want to hear your better answer though.
I think New Japan Pro Wrestling would be
A
lovely place for Bray to end up.
I was hoping you were going to say that because I wanted to, but I wanted to save that big reveal for you.
But I'll tell you why I think it makes sense for Bray is because over there they have such a respect for the wrestling, like. Everything is over in Japan. Funny stuff's over. You know, violent stuff's over. Crazy, weird characters are over. I mean, you got to think. They loved Brody, you know, Bruiser Brody. Not that he, you know, was, like, scary, but he was just a huge, violent man, and he got over. In New Japan, you already have, like, Evil. You have Sanada. You know what I mean? You already have kind of a basis of creepy sort of wrestlers. I feel like he would
put him like with like, you know, the Great Okan, who's like this big, you know, that could be like his heavy or something like that. I mean,
I don't even think that they need to put him in a stable because I feel like him getting over as a cult leader and kind of like poaching other members of stables. You know what I mean? Maybe
right,
he gets
yeah,
two big guys.
I want to see him fight Haruki Goto.
Yeah, I mean
so many matches, dude, would be good though.
Yeah, and his style would work because he's big and he's physical, you know, and big and physical is something that always works in Japan. It works against other big and physical guys. It works flippy dudes.
He's a second generation wrestler. He's an incredibly talented in-ring wrestler, especially considering his size and stature.
He would be a white guy not in the Bullet Club, which is you know, something you don't see a whole lot of, you know, I mean, especially, you know, a white American man, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, goddamn, dude. Yeah. I mean, just so many great options there.
Can I will say something.
Minoru.
Let Dover say something.
Sorry.
I know where he's not ending up. He's not ending up in the NWA.
Oh. Man, maybe Bray could be the next signing to GCW.
Bray versus Schlack.
No, Nick Gage.
Oh God! Wait, which one's Schlack in?
CCW and GCW. He fought Nick Gage over quarantine at some point.
Schlack versus Bray Wyatt in a fucking crack vial fight.
Yeah. So, guys, we got a question in the comments here. Does he go to NXT? Does he come back? Does he get the Samoa Joe treatment?
No, I don't.
I don't see that happening. Mostly because he seems to not want to be there. I mean, I think if Bray wanted to be there, he would probably have that option.
Let's talk about the fuck you they gave him. They gave his gimmick to Alexis, and then they fired him.
Not only that, but they released the
gimmick he spent thousands of dollars making.
And they also released his girlfriend or wife 6 to 8 months earlier, apparently, which is another weird one. Mm-hmm. And then released his brother. So, you know, like, shit, dude. I do love, what was it, Maria? Maria Kanellis, was that who it was who responded?
No, it was Twitter? It was Mickey James.
Mickey James, that's right. Mickey James, who responded on Twitter being like, oh, yeah. You mean the guy who fucking created one of the best characters in a fucking minute? Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
I mean, it's shitty, but again, it's WWE at its core. I mean, we talked about it when COVID and quarantine first started and WWE releasing, you know, all those guys on the Black Saturday or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, AAW didn't, you know, yeah. You see it over and over again. Like,
and that 42 on that list, yeah, that doesn't include any of the 2020 COVID releases.
Yeah. I mean, there was another, 15, 16 on that day, right?
There's a lot.
Something like that.
I mean, just in 2020 alone, there was a lot. I don't know what the number was, but I mean, they've been cleaning house, man, especially considering how much airtime they have to fill.
Yeah. I mean, they did it before COVID too. I mean, you know,
yeah,
I mean, these have been obviously particularly, big years, and obviously given the situation, we pay a lot more attention. But if you think about it, they do this shit once or twice a year anyways. It'll one day, like, seven, you know, people will get released and you're like, okay, bye.
But very rarely do you have names on there like Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt and Ruby Riott and, you know, like Lana, Aleister Black. Like, that's the thing, is like Mark Henry, Big Show, you know, like these are guys that normally, you know, like they're safe, and like and that was sort of the general consensus. If you're reading dirt sheets, is like backstage, everyone says, you know, everyone feels uncomfortable and no one feels safe.
I don't, as I alluded to, I don't even feel Randy's safe. Like,
yeah,
oh, I think Randy's safe.
He's the last member, the last member of the Wyatt family in WWE, man.
So, if you're talking about last year's releases, I just actually found a list online from who was released last year, and not counting people whose contracts expired, or, you know, like Renee Paquette, who I believe she left after her contract. I don't think she's released. There's like 30. There were 30 talents released last year. So in the last 2 years, last year and a half, whatever you want to call
70.
It, 70, like 70, like 70 plus people have, you know, lost their jobs. You know, that's just.
And they still have 200 plus under contract.
Yeah. But then, and that's just on screen talent.
Right.
But I mean, still, like, and there was a lot of big names in all of those. So it is an interesting place, because obviously 42 people, they're not all going to go to, they all can't go to AEW, obviously.
Right.
The majority of them can't go. I mean, their roster is fucking already full. Yeah, you know, yeah, sure they have they sure they have room for a few like big names, but like they've been quick to fill those. Adam Cole is going to be one of those names. I don't know if we've talked about Adam Cole yet.
No, he hasn't been brought up, and I was hoping we were going to eventually talk about it.
Okay, let's jump right into that, because that's the next big thing is like we're looking at his contract being up and him being able he doesn't have a no compete. And he's going to be able to jump in and go where he wants to go. And I mean, that one is a no-brainer to go to AEW. And I was saying, and I think Shane actually agreed with me on this, is that that is the biggest signing that they have ever made. Like, I think, wrestling-wise, talent-wise.
Mm-hmm. If biggest it happens, ups, obviously.
If it happens, that will be the biggest signing that they can get. Because he's got years and years ahead of him in his career. He's one of the most incredible workers, an incredible promo. He's got the look.
And he's also got the built-in storyline with, like, the Bullet Club, you know, Kenny Omega and the Bucks, you know, from when they killed Adam Cole. And that, so there's history there. Obviously, the stuff with Britt Baker, you know, I mean, there's tons of potential
there's
there.
So much that can be done. And there's no way... There's no way they do him justice on the main roster in WWE.
Exactly.
They just they don't know how. And, you know, like even Jim Cornette like said he's the next he's Shawn Michaels without the issues.
That's why I constantly get amazed when people and I think it was Vince or somebody said, I see a lot of Shawn Michaels in Riddle. I'm like, have you met Adam Cole? Have you watched him?
I see a lot of Jeff Spicoli in Matt Riddle.
Who the fuck is Jeff Spicoli?
Please tell me you're not serious.
Yeah, I'm totally serious. I mean, I might know who he is, but not by that
Alexa,
name.
Alexa,
have you ever watched Jeff Spicoli at Ridgemont High?
Oh God, no, oh, no. No, those movies. What was the one? What's the one with fucking Matthew McConaughey? You got a joint, man? Be a lot cooler if you did. I don't know. Anyway, those movies, I never got really into them.
Oh, bro, Ridgemont High. I never really got into movies.
I mean, you've never seen They Live.
They Live.
Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, if you go up to patreon.com/suchgoodshoot, you can pay $20 a month and you can make Shane watch movies. You can make Shane watch bad movies. You can make him
or
watch
good movies.
Good movies if you really want to.
Any movies you want. It just has to start with They Live.
Yeah, you have to start with They Live. And then after that, you get to start choosing. And you know, wrestling related is a plus. But we'll just say fuck it. We can watch whatever, man. So if you want to watch them, make them watch Bubba Hotep, go for it. You know, actually you might like Bubba Hotep. Bubba Hotep have you seen that we
dropped a Bubba Hotep reference two episodes ago on Diz Idiots.
So it is a good
what
movie.
The hell is a Bubba Hotep?
Bubba Hotep is a movie
Elvis
about
never died.
Yeah, it's a movie about Elvis, and like basically the premise is Elvis got sick of being Elvis, so he sold the gimmick to an Elvis impersonator, and the Elvis impersonator is the one who like went and partied himself to death. But by the time like that happened, no one believed that he was Elvis anymore, the real Elvis. And so he's just in a nursing home, and then the nursing home gets attacked by a Hotep, which is basically like a mummy.
Okay. Wow. Don't forget Black JFK.
Black JFK. Oh, yeah. Anyway, so if you want to watch, make Shane watch Bubba Hotep.
Please don't make me watch Bubba Hotep, dude.
It has Bubba. The world's best actor for reverse acting in it.
Oh, really? Who's this?
Bruce Campbell.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Bruce Campbell's great. Bruce Campbell is fucking fantastic. This is why Shane drinks.
Hey, this is wrestling
tonight,
related
baby.
Because Bruce Campbell was the ring announcer for the Bonesaw match in the first Spider-Man movie.
That's true.
Yes, it is. Oh my,
where are you going? Yeah, you're going nowhere.
And
you got 3 minutes.
Full circle.
I got you for 3 minutes. Yeah.
That's Macho Man and Toby Maguire or whatever. Toby Bones. Keith.
So.
Oh, God. Yeah. Totally works. That is wrestling related. So, I mean, basically, yeah. I mean, we're looking at a lot of talent. There's only so many places they can go. It'd be nice to see some of these people landing in Impact and Ring of Honor. And
I mean, look at some of the people who got released last year and doing, I mean, look at the Good Brothers. I mean, they're on two shows every week. Look at what Deonna Purrazzo's been doing in Impact. If you watch Impact, I mean, she's been arguably the best wrestler in Impact since she's been there. I mean, it's look what Matt Cardona's doing.
Jesus Christ, right?
Yeah, God, especially with PWG coming back as well.
Yeah.
And starting to run some shows. I mean, obviously, I think that you could totally see Adam Cole making an appearance and it at a PWG, you know, show coming up. I mean,
look at you had Orange Cassidy was there, Excalibur was there. I mean, so yeah, with this whole thing, you know, if Adam Cole did go to AEW, yeah, you could see him return to PWG and stuff. I mean, it's kind of we talk about all these releases, but damn it, it is such a great time to be a wrestling fan with all these companies out there and all these people working everywhere. You're seeing Kenny Omega, like, you know, the champion of what, like at least three different organizations. I mean, WWE right now is just, there's so much like crap going on and stuff, but damn, it's a good time to be a wrestling fan.
Kenny Omega, the greatest cosplay wrestler of all time, man.
Look, all I'm gonna say on that is when you see him come out with the Zubaz and all, it really does look like he's just cosplaying 90s wrestling.
I do,
like,
dude. I love the new gimmick, dude. Honestly, it is, because it does. It, you're right. It does feel like a fucking 80s cosplay, but it's.
But I think that's kind of the point.
Like, yeah, of course. He actually looks like a pro wrestler for once in his life. Oh shit! Well, I think we're close to wrapping up. DDJ has. Oh, do you really think Daniel Bryan will sign to AEW?
I think he already
absolutely
did.
Yes.
I think he's already signed.
If Daniel Bryan and CM Punk have not already signed contracts with AEW, AEW is in a lot of trouble.
Look,
they are in a lot of trouble because at that point, both of those guys have them over a fucking barrel.
For God's sakes, the AEW just sold out the United Center. No matches announced. And everybody that's bought a ticket is under the impression that's when CM Punk is showing up. So, yeah, AEW has to deliver.
Yeah, if CM Punk does not show up there.
I don't want to be in Chicago that night.
No, not near that building, dude. That's a fucking... If CM Punk doesn't show up, we riot.
Chicago going to look like Philly on a good night.
Philly on a Tuesday.
It's going to be like the Bulls just won another championship and everybody's out looting.
God damn, dude. The good old days,
but
man.
Do you have to grease the poles for the Bulls winning? Because Philly, you got to grease the poles.
You do have to grease those fucking poles. Those hooligans will try and climb them. Oh, fuck, man. Well, DDJ, you are the master of this, so I want you to go ahead and plug your stuff.
Well, again, thanks so much for having me on, as always. You know, happy to be, you know, an honorary member of Such Good Shoot.
Honorary? What are you talking about?
About honorary?
Oh,
there's no honor in this.
Happy to be the fourth member of Such Good Shoot. I'll leave it at that.
Honorary nothing. Well, fifth. You gotta count Nat. Sorry.
So I just dropped episode 52 of my show, What Do You Feel, with DDJ earlier this morning. It's another best of. Takes a look back at some of my interviews from episodes 46 through 50. Next week is going to be the kickoff to year two of my show. Also, again, guys, go check out my appearance on Such Good Shoot last weekend and relive that infamous moment when the Godfather went off on me.
And also go and seriously, guys, if you want to go and check out fucking how good and how much of a Wrestling Rain Man DDJ is, we need to get you the shirt, the Wrestling Rain Man shirt now. But he went toe to toe with Godfather on his own career and almost won. If he hadn't tapped out, he might have actually won.
And remember this too. The question I asked him when I brought on was something he had never been asked before.
Oh, he loved that, man. You stumped him. I was just doing the transcript from it, and he was all about it. So
what I will say is he was definitely very impressed with it. He may have been asked that question before and just totally forgot, though. I mean,
he got asked yesterday. Wow, man, I never been asked that before.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with
smoking a lot of weed, but I am saying there are certain side effects. And
he just has no clue.
What are we talking about again?
I'm plugging my stuff. That's what we're talking
about. Oh shit, bro. Yes, your stuff.
So also too, coming soon, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be debuting a new show called Shooting Shit. I'm going to be reuniting with my old co-host, Javon Menacho. And then I'm also going to be bringing in someone who's a friend of this show, Mr. Philly Baby, Joe Kuhn, a.k.a. The Premier Joey K, who was my replacement. We're going to be bringing the three of us together to just shoot on different various topics in the world of wrestling. That should be coming here in the next couple weeks. We're going to probably try and drop a teaser episode either later this week or next week. So be on the lookout.
I smell a crossover.
Oh, there's going to be a crossover. We're going to go big. We're going to do like MCU-esque here. You know, it's gonna be such nice. Good shoot, DDJ.
And if we do a super show together, I won't have to fucking inflate anyone's ego by pretending their dick is big. So that's gonna be fun too.
Oh boy! And on that
incredible bombshell, who are you again?
I'm fucking in trouble. I'm Isaac.
Who are you?
Shane. Oh, sorry, that's me.
Dude, you just plugged all your shit. We know who you are.
But I'm DDJ anyway, so.
And I'm Dozer. Hasta la bye bye. Thank you for listening to this edition of Such Good Shoot. If you are on YouTube, please remember to like, subscribe, and ring that bell icon. Or subscribe to us on your favorite audio catcher. Or finally, if you're on Facebook, leave a comment, like the video, and make sure to share it out to all your friends. Until next time, we have been Such Good Shoot, and have a great day. No door is forbidden to Isaac.
Oh, shit.
Oh, thank you.